Y'all knew I was off last week, and I appreciated that Jeremy filled in last week, though I heard he couldn't even start a light a torch, which I'm not going to judge him. Who am I kidding? Of course I am. But anyway, I'm going to have him help me out here today. I'm going to have him help with a building challenge. Now, it's going to start off really simple. Jeremy, you want to come up here and have a seat and right in the victim's chair? I mean, the chair on the front here. Yeah, see, this is a real simple little challenge. See how this is going? Got this? Okay. Real easy. Yeah, right? All right. See? And I want you to keep going as tall as you can. Except it's not fun if I don't give you a competition. So, Lucas, would you come up here? All right. Now, I've got two builders. I have Lucas, and I've got Jeremy. Okay, how many think Jeremy's going to win? You don't want to see this. How many think Lucas is going to win this challenge? You got it out of here. So, guys, what do you think? You're staying out of this. Your brothers are smart. All right. So, you know, Jeremy, they're having some real doubts about you here today. So I'm going to get you some help. Joe, would you come up here and be an advisor to him? I want you to. Now, how many think that maybe Jeremy might have a chance? Okay, we got one hand. All right, so here are your blocks. So if you guys will get ready to start, I'm not going to put them up on a table. I thought about that, and I thought, no, it's too much could happen. So you've got your example. I want to do is fast. Jeremy, you know, you need some help, so I want to give you a head start. Here's your foundation. And I'll go ahead and put a few on there for you. There you go. And of course, keep it standing. Okay. All right, guys. Go. Come on, this is timed. So start building. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard, Jeremy. He looked around back, saying, is this going to work? Yeah, you can use some of the ones from up here, too, if you need. All right. Hey.
You're getting behind here, Jeremy.
I know.
Yeah, you're getting behind here. Oh. All right. Now. That's my job. All right. Time. All right. How many want to live in this house? Anybody want to live in this house? If you... Hey, Jeremy, that's not leaning quite right.
Leaning tower.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Maybe if I put some weight against it, it will... You remember that commercial where the guy says, I'm chaos, whatever?
Yeah,
I'm chaos. I'm the storm. Thank you for your help. We're not using your house. Thank you, sir. Yes, give them a hand. If you haven't figured out yet, we're talking about, with the song you've already probably figured out, we're talking about a foundation. And today we're going to conclude our message, a series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus ends his message on the Sermon on the Mount, he calls people to look at what they're doing and how they're responding to it. The scripture reads, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against that house. And it fell with a great crash." And when Jesus finished these sayings, it says, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Interesting side note here. The word here that means that the people were astonished or amazed has twofold meanings. One is sort of a wow, that's good. Like, I need to put this into practice. The other one's sort of like, what? Are you crazy? You can't live like that. And I've heard a number of people say that about the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus says. Oh yeah, they're good stuff. You really can't live like that. And so people were amazed and they were astonished, depending on which translation you used. But the meaning was that some of them were like, wow, this is good. And others were like, wow, this is crazy. They knew there was some power, there's some authority behind what he said. But they're like, how do we handle this? How do we respond to these words? And that still carries with the message to the people today. People look at the Sermon on the Mount and they say, boy, this is good stuff. And other people say, yeah, I'm not living like that. There's just no way. But what brings us now to the person that we're going to look at, his name is Gideon. Now, through the Sermon on the Mount, we've been looking at some of the sayings of Jesus and also people who either exemplified that characteristic that we see in Jesus' teaching or maybe didn't quite do it quite right. And Gideon started out well. Many of you know the story of Gideon. Gideon started out and he had this huge army. He was coming against Israel. And God sent an angel and said, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, who are you looking at? That ain't me. What are you talking about? And yet he calls together the children of Israel. God says, you've got too many people here to go into battle. And he's like, we're outnumbered 10 to 1. How is this being out, against odds? Why is this bad, God? And God says, no, send a bunch of them home. Anybody who's afraid, go home. And a large number left. And then God said, whittle it down even further. And I won't go through the whole test, but God whittled it down to 300 men. And those 300 at night took down an army that was innumerable. It was a great victory. The way that Gideon overcome the army was something that even people today study. In fact, later he turned down the opportunity to become king. But things didn't stay that way. In Judges chapter 8, verse 22, it says, the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your sons, and your grandsons, because you saved us from the hands of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor my sons rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And he said, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder, because it was the custom of the Israelites to wear gold earrings. They answered, we'll be glad to give them. So they spread out a garment, and each of them threw a ring from the plunder into it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that are on the camels' necks. Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which was placed on an orphan in his town. And all Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there. And it became a snare to the Gideon and his house. God gave this great victory, and then Gideon started doing things that God did not command. He set up this golden ephod. An ephod is a garment that priests would wear. And in it, there was usually what was called the Urim and Thummim, a couple of what scholars believe probably were just like a little pouch that contained stones. And so they would ask a question, they'd draw a stone, and they would take that as being an answer from God. Though we really, the Bible doesn't say exactly what it was. So if Gideon actually asked, should I do this? The answer would have been no, but he didn't ask. What he did, he set himself up and to the role of a priest. He set himself up as a place that people would go to seek answers from God. Rather than leaving it in the hands of those whom God had ordained, Gideon took it upon himself. And things seemed to go okay for a while. But as the scripture says, it drew him astray. It was a snare to him and to his family. And after Gideon died, things went way downhill, where his family actually destroyed each other. And what was the problem? How could this man who had such a great beginning fall? The problem was he started building on his own ideas instead of doing things as God said. And therefore, when the times came, when time passed, everything he had fell apart. One of his children destroyed and killed all his others. I mean, you know, some of you have kids that don't always get along, but hopefully they're not killing each other. But to imagine killing 70 of your siblings, oh my goodness. What happened? How did this household go so bad? How could things go so wrong? Gideon began not building on a foundation on what God commanded, but on what he thought he wanted and what he thought needed to take place. Jesus said that if you're a wise or foolish person, and he wasn't talking about whether or not you're smart or dumb. A wise person is one who does what is right. Foolish is a person that may be smart, but doesn't always do the smart thing, the right thing. And the foolish person in Jesus' mind is somebody who hears the words of God and doesn't do them. God gave the commands to the children of Israel, but Gideon didn't follow through. He didn't do it. He didn't do things the way God said. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a wise man, a wise builder, you're going to take the words he gives and not just hear them, but do them. In the land of Israel, where Jesus was teaching, storms would come from the mountains and down in the areas, and they were usually pretty bad. So you wanted to make sure your house was built to last. And so what was required, you'd have to dig down a little ways to make sure that you were on a rock, not just on the shifting sands or the shifting sand and the dirt that might, the soil that might be there. Because if you did, when the storms came, it would wash out underneath the house. And as we can see, what happens if you don't have a good foundation? The problem with it, sometimes if somebody didn't dig down, they thought, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm on a rock. Sometimes they weren't on a rock. They were on like two rocks. And one would shift, the other would stay, and there wasn't a sure foundation, and again, it would collapse. If we're to build something in our lives that's going to last, we need not just to hear the words of Jesus, but do them. And I'm glad people come to church. I really am. I'm glad to see people come to church and be in the church. But let me tell you something. If all you do is come to church and you never put into your life anything you hear, you're wasting your time. I'm not asking you not to come if you're not doing it perfectly. Guess what? We all mess up sometimes. That's the good thing about Jesus. We have grace, we have forgiveness. But we need to make sure that we're following and doing what Jesus says, not just listening to it. I'm sure all of you who are parents have had somebody say, don't just, your kids may say, I hear you. Yeah, I know you hear me. You're not doing it though. I'm sure, has any of your parents ever said anything like that? You've said, yes, you hear me, but you're not doing it. Yeah. But the problem is, how often do we hear what Jesus says, and yet we're not following through? If we're going to build something that lasts, we're going to need to not just hear, but to do. If you hear and you're not doing, Jesus says you're foolish. You're foolish. Now we know Jeremy really isn't foolish. If he had to build a house for sure, he'd take that pillow I gave him and throw him aside. He would say, no way, at least I hope he would. He would say, I don't want to build on that. It's not going to last. It's going to fall over. His advisor, Joe, would have said, don't build on that. In fact, if you heard it, you may not have. Joe said, this is rigged. Yeah, he knew this foundation I gave him was working against him. Jesus is saying, if you hear and you're not doing it, you're just fooling yourself. Because you know what? Storms come. For a while, things may look good, but sometimes bad things happen. Storms come in our lives. And I know enough of you in here to know you've all faced a lot of storms. Things have happened in your life that just are hard. If you didn't have your life built on a strong foundation, the house can be destroyed. In fact, sometimes you can have your house built on the right foundation and you still take a beating. Because here's the truth. Storms come in our lives. We live in a fallen world. We live amongst people who aren't always nice. Bad things are going to happen. Storms come. So we need to make sure to prepare, to build our foundation on what is right. I once read a book called The Storm Before the Calm by Pastor Talbot Davis. And he made a point that sometimes the storms in our lives prepare us for the calm that's coming afterwards. Sometimes those storms prepare us for a way to minister to other people. But here's the other truth that he pointed out in his book. We need to start building a foundation, though, even before the storms come. Because if we don't have the right foundation, we're not going to last the storm. And if we don't last the storm, that storm can't be used by God to help us do something greater later. And let me tell you something. When you put your foundation on Jesus and do what he says, it will help you through the storm, and it will help you after the storm. You all know my story, because I've shared it before, and I'll share it many times probably before you all retire me or throw me out or whatever happens. When my grandmother was murdered, I had a hard time dealing with that. But I chose, since I had put my faith in Jesus Christ, to build on that foundation. And that foundation said I needed to forgive. And so I chose to obey. And because I chose to obey, when I came through that storm, God used that storm to help me work with others who were struggling. It taught me that when you hold on to bitterness, it doesn't hurt the other person. They don't give a care most of the time. It hurts you. And so what is the life called us to do? Life calls us not just to hear the words of Jesus saying forgive, but actually do it. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. But when you do it, the rewards are great. And your life doesn't fall apart. So what is your foundation today? What is it based on? Hopefully something solid. Hopefully you're not just hearing the words of God and hearing Jesus' words, but you're trying to practice them. In 1173, I was off by only 800 years there, an architect called Baiano Picino, and I'm probably mispronouncing the name, decided he wanted to build a bell tower. It was supposed to be a beautiful 8-story tower in a Romanesque style, something that should stand for 1,000 years. After 5 years, 3 stories were built, and it was found the tower was beginning to lean. But the work was halted because there was a small war. It took 100 years, so they sort of had to put building on hold. Many experts surmise that if they'd kept building rather than pausing, the building would have collapsed already. Almost 100 years later, in 1272, 4 more stories were added with a new builder. He tried to correct the problem by adding more height to the side that was leaning. I don't know about you, but if something's leaning and you put more stuff on that side, anybody figuring out this is going to be a problem? He was the architect. I'm not quite sure he understood what architecture was supposed to be, but he thought that would solve the problem. It wasn't. It was only making it worse. But there was another war. Evidently, this part of Italy was not a place you wanted to live regularly. And also, it halted the construction till 1350, at which time they decided just to put the bell tower at the top and complete the project. In 1838, the project took a turn because an architect believed they wanted to clean the base around it so you could see the architectural design at the bottom. Later, in 1934, Mussolini tried to straighten this tower. I bet you've already seen this tower before, haven't you? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I remember studying the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They said it's falling. It will not continue to stand. At that time, they had huge cables hooked to it, and holding it, keep it from going over. No one was allowed in the top part, and then finally by 1990, they stopped everyone from going inside. They knew something radical had to take place. The previous attempts had only made it worse, and it was just a matter of time. So after 10 years, and let me check my notes for sure. Oh yeah, there it is. After over 10 years, actually it was 11 years, and $27 million, ouch, they took the lean from a 5.5 degree lean to less than 4% lean. They took the stones and things underneath it, they reinforced it, and they kept the lean, but they caused the foundation to settle so that the tower would no longer be in danger of falling. And today you can visit there and actually go all the way to the top. You gotta watch it because it still leans a little bit. And you could probably get dizzy if you're going up it. But what happened? They decided that this tower was not going to stand on its current foundation. They had to put it on a good foundation, a solid foundation. And because of that, they say today that the Leaning Tower of Pisa will last for at least another 200 years. In spite of the earthquakes that are known to happen in the area. How is that possible? Well, they changed the foundation. They put a good foundation under it. The problem, of course, is it took a lot of time and a lot of money. And my way to tie into us today, God can offer forgiveness. He can take our lives, even much later in our lives, and put them onto a solid foundation. But the longer you wait, the more there is a danger of collapse. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. And the harder is it going to be to make it right. If Jeremy was going to save that tower, the first thing he should have done before he got added too much more was move the blocks, throw the pillow aside, and start afresh, right? Yeah. If he had permission, he might have thought, you know what, I'm going to grab hold of the bottom and lift it up and have Joe pull the pillow out and we'll set it back down. Was there a danger in doing that? Yeah. But you know what? We wouldn't have a bottle... a pile of blocks there now. He might have actually beat Lucas. Maybe. But what's your foundation? No matter how bad you've lived your life or how badly crooked your life may be, the good news is Jesus can help you straighten it. He can put you on a good foundation. How do we do that? By hearing his words and doing them. God has hope for us, even after our buildings collapsed. Because as long as there's life, there's hope. But we've got to be willing to listen. Not just listen, but do. And then when we do that, we'll find ourselves on a firm foundation. And unlike a building, we won't be just sitting in one place. God will lead us to places that are higher. Which brings us to our concluding song for the day, Higher Ground. Because when we're walking with him, God will lead us to higher ground. So I want you to remember that today. Where's your foundation? Follow him, and when you do, it will lead you to good places.
I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land.
And Father, I ask now that you be with each one as they leave this place today. Let them move forward in higher ground in you. And Lord, help them show forth your grace and your love to the world around them. Bless them, I ask, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.